You're dumb.
Yo, 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 homes.
You're dumb.
This stuff's garbage. Try it.
Same thing. Still dumb.
What the hell, dude?
Well, our podcast episode 18. Can you believe it? That brand new intro that I'm really excited to have. Murph and Gawkman, the dumb song. Part of Psycho Stick, a metal comedic band that if you haven't heard of them, you have to go check them out. Go to psychostick.com or go to YouTube, go anywhere. They're all on social media too. You guys, go check it out. They are awesome. So, episode 18. I don't know. Is anybody even listening to this stuff still? Well, hopefully. Here's Bill to tell you more.
I do love the new intro. It's sort of like me, sort of heavy and corny at the same time, you know?
Well, and that's why you're a part of it. What was your line in that?
Well, just the three different quotes from Vic, me, and, I mean, who's it, Amy?
Amy, yeah. You're in there going, you should try it. It's terrible. Do you remember what episode that was from?
I think it was referring to Whiskey Eat or something, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah, that was the Shane's 40th birthday party episode. And you were talking about the history of it and Ireland and where stills come from. And then you were talking about all the bigger brands that most people buy versus some of the smaller batch stuff that you've tried. And try it all. It's terrible. Or something like that. Anyway, it fit perfectly into the...
I just got called out on it recently. They were like, we need to talk. Like, you're drinking this nasty whiskey. And I was like, okay, well, you know, they made me try several different kinds, like Red Stag, which is like a cherry whiskey.
Who called you out on it?
Let's just say my bartender called me out on it. You know, she was like, no, really, we need to talk. Like, what is this? What are you drinking? And I was like, okay. She's like giving me little sample shots. Like, this is a, you know, Red Stag. This is, but I still, the one I liked the best was still Canadian whiskey, you know? And it was like VO. Canadian Club, yes. VO, I think it was. Like, whatever version that is.
I don't drink a lot of whiskey or bourbon, but if I were to pick between the two, I would say that I'm more of a bourbon guy. I don't mix them. I would rather taste the bourbon or whiskey as it is. Now, like, tonight I'm drinking Burnett's Peach Vodka with 7-Up. I mean, and I like to taste some good vodkas, you know, out of a shot glass, just sip on it a little bit, but yeah. I just like some mixed drinks too, but if I'm going to do mixed drinks, then I'm going to go the cheaper stuff that'll do it.
Yeah, I noticed you like to mix it up and try some different things. Oh, shizzle.
The, definitely a beer guy by birth.
I went to that Harmony Brewery today where my bro used to brew beer, and a guy we grew up with is still the manager, and I liked it. I was like, hey, do you guys have a wheat beer that's not 10% alcohol? And they were like, no, sorry, we don't have a wheat beer. And I was like, well, it's probably not the right time of year for that, is it?
Like, one of the biggest wheat beers just came out.
Did it?
Oberon.
Well, okay.
It's a wheat-based.
I guess I would think that it comes with the harvest, maybe, and so that it would be a fall thing. I don't know, but...
You could say the same about barley, too, and that's the main base with any beer. Or corn, which is the main base for your whiskey. But, no, there's definitely wheat beer, like Shock Top. You ever drink any Shock Top beers?
No.
Well, I think it's a Coors brand beer, but like Shock Top is another orange-inspired beer where they put orange zest or whatever. It's not like Oberon, but it's similar, where it's more of a spring-summer.
They have a cool design on their can. I know that.
But yeah, they do. Shock Top has even gone into doing stuff with like lime and all. Hey, you know, whatever. I'm not going to talk down to any styles of beer anymore. When I first got into brewing, I started to become a brew snob, and then I kind of went back and went, you know what, I still like drinking Coors Light. So I can't really be a beer snob if I like Coors Light, Busch Light, like Sam Adams, not something I drink a ton, just Boston Lager. Great. I just like beer.
Yeah. By the way, message us if you have an opinion, because we would love to hear it. We'd love to have more people get involved. We do this because it's fun. Like I said earlier, I went to this brewery today in, you know, what is it, East Grand Rapids, and called Harmony, and they didn't have the wheat beer, so I tried their IPA, their Michigan IPA, and it was good. I'm not even a huge beer fan myself, but it was good. And then I tried their Pilsner, which is their lowest 5.1, you know, percent. And it was good as well. I did not mind it. They were both very flavorful.
Yeah, most breweries do a really good job. There's only been two in the area, not in the same town, but the two breweries that I was talking to you about earlier, one in a neighboring town to the northwest and one in a neighboring town to the southeast. Only two breweries I've been to where I went, eh, it's not like they tasted bad, but all their beers were kind of straight down the middle and just didn't have a lot of variation to it, to where the, and I will say this one by name, the Steel Street Brewery in Ionia, Pete knows what he's doing. And I'm not saying that because I'm a homer. I say that because I'm a beer fan, and he does a damn good job, man. He really does. I love all the beers he's put out down there, except for the, and I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just not a big fan of the, I can't think of the name to it now.
What's that newest one he came out with? It's like a natural light lemonade or something.
I'm just kidding. Pete Sanford from Steel Street Brewery came out with the idea for the Natterdays, the natural light lemon.
He makes really good wine and really good bread and really great pizza. And, he does a great job.
Yeah, I've seen those, the Natural Light Natterdays. So it's like pink lemonade, light, natural light. And it's, no. I would like to try one, except for I don't want to pay for it. It's, and I like Shandy beer, like Leinenkugel's Summer Shandy. I know I might get murdered on this, but it's good beer. Good grapefruit Shandy I like even better. But Natural Light, pink lemonade.
It's the worst.
Have you tried it? Oh, yeah, you were telling me about it, weren't you?
Well, people were just leaving them sit there full. They wouldn't even drink them, so I didn't even have to try it. I already know it's bad. That's the only time people will drink it, is if it's bad.
You know what? Beers like Natural Light, Busch Light, Coors Light, just stick with what you know. Actually, no, Coors Light came out with a shandy a couple of years ago, and what was that called?
I didn't know they got that fancy.
It was good, too. It was actually really good. It was called the...
My bro and our friend Eric, they used to love to drink that Coors High Life. That was Miller High Life.
Now, Miller High Life is a weird beer because if it's out of a glass bottle or even the tap, it's fine. But you drink it out of a can and it's like... ugh, gives you the shivers. Oh, it was the Citra Radler. Coors Light Lemon Radler?
Was it similar or Summer to Radler? Heineken?
It was good, though. Like, I don't really drink Miller beers all that much, but they had something called the Miller Chill. They might even still sell it. I don't know. But it was basically Miller Light with lime and salt.
Yeah, it was a better version of Bud Light Lime. I actually liked the Miller version with lime better than the Bud Light Lime.
Me too.
I think everybody else said the same thing to me as well, yeah.
It had way better flavor, and I'm not a Miller Lite fan.
Well, and also I'd like to add that it still tastes kind of fake and is nowhere near as good as buying a lime and cutting it up. You know what I'm saying? Like jamming some of that in there.
Yeah, you know, and the weird thing is...
And who doesn't like that with Corona? I got
to
add
that. Well, that's what I was going to say is when it comes to drinking a Corona and putting a lime in it, nope. Drinking a Corona without a lime, I'll drink it. If I'm already about 10 beers deep, I'm just not a fan.
I do like Corona.
You know what? Sean actually had some Corona Light recently, and I actually went, it's not bad. It's kind of like Heineken, where I appreciate Heineken for what it is, but it takes me a beer or two to get into it. But Heineken Light is really actually pretty good.
Yeah, we were smashing those Corona Lights in the hot tub. It was great.
Yeah, that was nice to see when I got online, what was it, Sunday night, and I go, oh, the sons of bitches went and partied without us.
I was like, Kenny, give me a beer.
Oh, he was there?
Yeah, he's a good kid.
Yeah, he is. that night when you guys were doing that, Sarah was gone most of the day, and I was editing the last podcast. And I went, I was almost done, and Sarah and Clarabelle came home. And next thing you know, she's gone again. And also, I start seeing pictures of Ellie and Becky holding the new puppy. I'm thinking, oh, okay. And then Claire says Sarah went down to see the puppy. And then later on,
that's a cute dog, by the way.
There's Bill and Becky and Jody and Sean in the hot tub. And I went, assholes. They never invited us. But actually, no, Sarah went down. I don't really care. Sarah went down there. And in fact, after sitting around all day doing nothing and editing a podcast, I'm like, well, I'm going to probably pack it in for the night.
Yeah, no, really. I wish you guys could all see the giant custom-made fold, you know, louvers that open in the folding doors that, you know, completely open the entire thing up. It's really quite spectacular what he's built over there.
Yeah, no, he's definitely got something that I don't, because I've never been good at doing that. If I do the same work that he does, it takes me 4 to 5 times as long to learn how to do it, but then I can do it at a novice level where, like, shit like this, they can just look at it and go, ah, I could. Well, it's kind of like brewing. You know how long it might take somebody to learn how to brew? I watched a couple of videos and I was brewing. And I'm not saying I'm a great brewer, but it just comes to me a little more easily than what carpentry does to other people.
I see many things that are ironic every day. Like I said, I was at a brewery earlier today, and I talked to 3 different employees, and none of them were brewers.
What did they do?
Manager, waitress, and prep cook.
Hey, you know, and that's the thing, is you don't really need to be a brewer to know good beer. So if you can run the front of a house of a brewery and know what you're talking about when people ask you about beer, that's good enough.
It's good.
It's
important. It's definitely a huge part of the business, for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of where, when it comes to me knowing about beer, I don't think after brewing for as many years as I have and tinkering with different, like, wines, I haven't really done a mead yet, but I think I would be good for something like that kind of a role where I could own a restaurant and know what I'm talking about when it comes to alcohols, but I'm never going to be a brewer like Pete is at Steel Street. It comes to him easier. And I can tell you, I used to get magazines and books. And when you're talking about brewers that know how to decipher differences with chemical makeups of hops and how they will react with, I just haven't gotten there. And I've been brewing for 10 years.
Yeah. So like I met a guy today at the place and, you know, he liked Guinness type stuff. And I looked at the menu and said, well, you're looking at a vanilla stout then. He said, yep, and that's what he ordered. And he said it was great.
You know what's vanilla? That story. I almost fell asleep during that.
It was so vanilla. This guy was a first-day employee, and he was getting his shift beer, which I don't think I can legally tell you that it was free, but...
Yeah, we can probably leave that part out.
For training, he got a free pizza.
For training.
The 3 of us, the bartender, the new employee, and I as a customer agreed. I don't know if I agreed, but they agreed that going to any place that testing out their margarita pizza is a good benchmark.
Yeah, I would say so.
I don't know if I would, but they did. No, I'm just kidding. He's like, I just wanted to try something different. It's got to have some ham on it.
So we were talking earlier, before this podcast started, about the draft. Let's do a quick recap. Let's say quick thoughts. Best, worst, what'd you think? Are they going to be contributors or are they not? I was not unhappy overall. I'll tell you that.
Well, first off, you had the top tight end in the draft picked in the top 8 picks. And number one, I got to say that most people do not ever, NFL teams never pick a tight end in the top 10 picks. The Lions do, though, and they've already been burned on it at least twice, I think, with Pettigrew and what was the other one?
Eric Ebron.
Ebron, who's shined since he left, by the way. The number two, the tight end is a position that takes the longest and hardest to develop in the NFL. So if you are going to go all in on a tight end, you better give him some time to develop, because that's a simple fact of gravity right there.
I think he's going to be a contributor early, and I'm saying his rookie year. But what was your favorite pick?
Well, I'm not sure what my favorite pick is yet, but number two that upset everybody was the linebacker that should have went in the fifth round, apparently.
Yeah, Tavai.
From Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jay Lani. You know, the guy. It's funny to me because the guy's from Hawaii. I ran track with a girl from Hawaii, and her name was Leilani, and his name is Jay Lani. Oh, so it's kind of similar. I don't know. That's just a little linguistics, I guess. There.
Yeah, there you go. He, everything I read about him was that he fit the scheme based on his size and speed. I'm not going to say it's a bad pick. I mean, I can see the argument for it being a reach, but you know what? If he turns out to be an all-pro, well, then I guess it wasn't a bad pick, was it? But, again, with all picks, wait and see.
Absolutely, dude. I mean, I think everybody could agree he's not going to be Gronkowski, but the next pick would be a safety, Will Harris. I don't know that much about him. Please let us know if you know more than us about that one.
You know what? I'm gonna tell you right now. My favorite part is it's not even the draft. It's as soon as the draft ended, the Lions signed two undrafted free agent offensive linemen,
which were some of the best picks they made, I think, potentially.
Yeah. No. That's. I did read today they exercised the fifth-year option on Taylor Decker, which is a good move.
I would get rid of him.
So, no, I would rather have experienced in the system, which actually is changing with the new offensive coordinator. But
if you're a left tackle in the NFL, your job is to let your quarterback not get hurt. I watched him get Stafford hurt last year. Personally, he did. Through his failure.
Those are my two favorite signings.
But yeah, they're the two new linemen could be better than him, is my point.
I think there's a better chance that they're
going to.
Yeah, that's great. That. They got him undrafted free agents after the draft, which means they can come cheap, at least their first couple of years. But if they earn it, you pay them. You know what I mean? It's a smart move.
Right, but you're getting ahead of me, though. Like, number four. They got Austin Bryant, and here's where it starts to get exciting. Go look up Austin Bryant on, YouTube. I think he's number seven. And the guy, he played for an overwhelming defense that was not all him, by no means. But still a good player for sure. I can't even pronounce these guys' names. Can you say his
name?
He's
from Penn State, right? The cornerback?
Owajarian and CB. And a lot of people, I think, are saying that this is, like, probably the best pick the Lions got, dude. This guy's legit. He's big and tall, and he's a great tackler, they're saying. This is the kind of thing you like to see because we already got Darius Slay, dude, and he's one of the best.
Yeah.
The NFL, so the defense is actually starting to look really good at this point.
Yeah, except for we didn't get any defensive linemen. Well, not defensive tackles. We did get a defensive end.
Well, we already have interior defensive linemen.
Yeah.
And, we basically only really needed, barring injury, we only needed one more guy. So we're a step closer to having an amazing defense.
So when you look at the draft picks and then the unsigned or the undrafted free agents that came in, where did Quinn go wrong? Yeah, you can argue the case for T.J.
Well,
Hockenson
this is where,
to go
on
early.
Pick six, it gets weird again for me because who's Travis Fulham from Old Dominion, a wide receiver? Apparently he's a late bloomer who's done great things in this last year after already being in college Division I football for years. But then we skip ahead to, another pick six from Ty Johnson, the running back from Maryland. The good hope there is I saw a kick return for like 98 yards, so he's definitely got speed.
That's why they drafted him.
He's a threat.
He's going to be a kick return specialist. So.
And then it gets weird because they picked another tight end at seven and then a nose tackle at seven. So, again, they're adding to the defense.
Oh, they did get a defensive tackle.
And then I was disappointed mostly because they didn't focus on the offensive line. But as you pointed out, they picked up several other offensive linemen, which is exactly what I think the Lions need more than anything.
And one of them was from Wisconsin. And Wisconsin is known for producing linemen. So it was a gift. It was a gift that the guy didn't get drafted, but he's potentially going to be a starter for years. Potentially. Who knows?
Well, and I think they said he was the top ranked rushing blocker. So I'm going, how did he get missed in the draft? Unless he's been injured. I still haven't heard anything about any injuries or anything like that.
I haven't read
how did he
much
get missed
him.
If he's the top, you know, ranked rushing defender?
But either way, injured or not, if you can get him as an undrafted free agent after the draft ends, you're not putting a ton of investment into it. But if he turns out to be a stellar blocker, well, you pay the man, and he's got a bright future.
Yeah, and again, you look at any of the great NFL teams you've ever watched on the television, and they all have one thing in common. Other than great defenses, they have a great offensive line.
Well, it starts from both offense and defensive line.
I like to use the example of the Buccaneers. They won the Super Bowl with a little-known quarterback. He was a veteran, but he wasn't a big-name quarterback by no means. Yeah. What was his name? Johnson, I think, when they had a great fullback and they had a great wide receiver and they had a good team overall. But their quarterback was not even anything. Yeah.
No, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl with who? Was it the Ravens?
I'm not sure. I want to say it's the Dolphins, but he probably just played for the Dolphins, didn't he?
No, the Dolphins haven't won a Super Bowl.
You lit liquors!
So, anyway, when we left off, because most people don't know we went to break there, I was talking about how the Dolphins never won a Super Bowl, but I was wrong. Wait, was it a Super Bowl? 72 Dolphins would have been a Super Bowl. Hey.
Trent Dilfer.
We're drunk. Yeah, Trent Dilfer sucks.
Or the Ravens. What team was it?
What? Who?
The Steelers.
Iron Curtain. Yeah, right.
I do love football.
So we're going to wrap this podcast up soon, and we've been out here. I've been drinking Burnett's. Yeah, I know. Don't judge me.
I don't even know what that is.
Burnett's is probably the cheapest.
Burnett's?
It's
like a transvestite.
It's called Peach Burnett's Vodka with 7-Up. Bill's been drinking McMaster's or... No, yeah. What is it?
Yeah, don't tell anybody that. Yeah, Canadian whiskey, really.
Canadian whiskey and Diet Coke because your foo-foo is a mother... we've got some sour cream and cheddar Uncle Ray's potato chips. By the way, I wish they would be a sponsor because I love Uncle Ray's potato chips so much. You know what the best thing about Uncle Ray's chips is? You can take a look at the back and it has a story. Hey, growing chapter 5, poor but blessed. Growing up had its blessing. Most families in the Fisher Housing Project on the... You know what? Buy your own bag if you want to hear the story. But Uncle Ray's potato chips are the best. And my favorite flavor is salt and pepper.
I would also like to add, text us at 616-902-3445. We'd love to hear what you think.
You can go wirepodcast@gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You know what? I'm stuttering like a bitch right now. You can look us up online and support this podcast. We need some recommendations, some feedback. Go to any site, Spotify, Google, Apple, whatever. Leave some feedback. Send us some email. Give us some topic ideas. Because if you don't, you know what? This is what you're stuck listening to.
And what we've been doing is having barbecues in the backyard, accompanied by bonfires. And, well, everybody else is still sitting on the deck just talking. The kids are playing.
You know what the funny thing is? They all look like Shane up there because we actually asked them all to come out and podcast. And they all refused because they're too, you're like Arizona. Yeah, you know what? Whatever.
And now that Shane's been called out, I'm assuming that he's going to be here at the next podcast. Because he ain't even going to go out like that.
I've called him out on every podcast, and he still hasn't done it. You know what the funny thing is Shane, Terry, and I came up with this idea to do this before Terry moved away. But podcast technology has it to where we can all do it from our individual homes, no matter where we're at.
Simultaneously.
Terry actually came over last weekend expecting to do it, but...
Telepathetically.
It was unfortunate that he couldn't do it because we actually did some recording, and by the time he got here, it was a little bit too late, but he made an effort. Shane goes out of his way to stay away from this.
And I can tell you why, Ben, because what's going to happen is it's going to escalate into a brother between brother battle.
Well, the problem in is, the cage is he, of thinks death. He thinks he knows stuff about sports, but he doesn't. Because all he does is regurgitate bullcrap lines.
I have a different viewpoint on that because I've watched your arguments online, and I got to tell you that you're a Michigan State fan.
He's a Michigan fan.
And Shane is a Michigan fan, your brother.
Well, to take it further, I'm a Lions fan. He's a Bears fan.
Shane has always been a Bears fan.
When Shane debates sports anymore nowadays, he takes the company line or the buzzwords and he throws them out there, just like he does about politics and how unions are so great.
And Eminem.
Yep, you're right. But he never really brings anything to the table. And that's why I want him to get on this podcast, is because I want him to debate. I want him to bring his knowledge, his quote-unquote knowledge, to the table.
I think that Shane recognizes a lot of success in a lot of these different organizations and people that we've talked about.
Not Michigan football.
Winning his program in history.
Well, that's great, but what have you done for me lately?
Coming back better than ever, I think, possibly this year. Our quarterback is returning. Shea Patterson. I don't know. You tell me, where's State at right now?
Well, in fact, one of the latest articles I read about them is that they're everybody's dark horse pick to hit the college football playoff. So, when you can go from 3-9 to 9-3 and then back to whatever they were last year to dark horse playoff, I'd say that's pretty good. When Michigan perennially every year, because of their quote-unquote brand, is always put in the top whatever, who cares, they haven't done anything.
I agree.
And Harbaugh is supposed to be the savior, and he hasn't
even
done anything.
Yeah, even last year the defense was still overrated. I would admit that. I'd be the first person to admit that. The defense was definitely overrated, and it showed, especially in the latter half of the season, you know, in reality, you know.
Well,
Clemson did great, Alabama did great, et cetera, right? Still seeing great improvements, and I give all the props in the world to Michigan State. This is the biggest difference between people like me and you and Shane. You guys, I feel like you guys hate each other because you're opposite fans. I can appreciate personally both Michigan and Michigan State. Michigan State has had an excellent football program in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
They've got one of the most respected coaches in basketball. Hands down, nationwide, and football. So, absolutely, dude. They've produced – Kirk Cousins is, like, what, the second highest paid player ever in the history of the NFL, I think? Third highest?
Not anymore. This year they've had two quarterbacks that have – yeah, it doesn't – yeah.
I think they just upped Kirk Cousins, maybe, but never mind. But either way – he's one of the highest paid ever, like, last year. So, that's huge. That is huge. But you can't really argue with success, is my point.
My biggest problem with Michigan, though, is – that when they got rid of Lloyd Carr, they went with Rich Rod, right? And they said, give him some time, give him some time. But he kept getting top 10 recruits. And then he never got support by Michigan, I know that.
Yeah, you're right, the recruiting.
And then they went through Brady Hoke, right?
Oh, I hate that. Is it weird if I hate that name even more?
Yeah, I know, but he kept getting top 10 recruits. And everybody kept saying, just wait, just wait. And his best season was his first with Rich Rod's recruits. And then Harbaugh comes in, and truth be told, Harbaugh was the only person I didn't want them to get because I thought he was going to be the difference maker. But he comes in, top 10 recruits, and he stabilized the program, but he hasn't won anything. He hasn't beaten Ohio State in 4 years. He's 2-2 against Michigan State, which the two victories he's got against Michigan State is when they were awful. When Michigan State was halfway decent, Michigan State won. And Michigan State hasn't been nearly as good as they were before Harbaugh got there.
You know, so, I got to tell you, I've seen video footage of Harbaugh in his first couple years at Michigan, and it was sort of a documentary-style thing. But the point is, it showed footage of his offensive coordinator sitting up in the, you know, the booth. This is the things that most people don't see. And sometimes it varies. But in this case, Harbaugh did not call the plays for the offense at this point. He hired some guy. I can't remember his name. Well, he called the plays down from the booth. The point is,
well, that's the whole point of an offensive coordinator.
It seemed very, very rudimentary and unorthodox, and it just didn't work. The point is, the guy was a terrible offensive coordinator. Harbaugh should have never trusted the guy to call his plays, and he got fired. The strength coach got fired, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of changes he's been making along the way that if it doesn't show a difference this year, then he's definitely going to look worse than ever. Absolutely.
My whole thing with Harbaugh is that Michigan fans thought it was the second coming of Christ. And in fact, I've heard as much.
Definitely exaggerated.
No, I've heard as much from people saying that he's the savior of the program. But
he still has to prove it. He still has to prove
it. He does still have to prove it.
He still hasn't proven it yet.
No, he hasn't.
No, he has not at all.
He took a program that Rich Rod and Brady Hoke both, well, Rich Rod not so much, but Brady Hoke and Rich Rod both had top 10 recruiting classes that turned out to be nothing. And all Harbaugh did was give him 9-10 win seasons, but he has never won a big game. And when I talk to Michigan fans about, like, what's Harbaugh ever done? Well, he took the 49ers to the Super Bowl. Did he win it? No. What did he do in college? Did he win a conference championship with Stanford? No, but he took Stanford from being really bad to really good. Okay, fine. That's great. But did he win a conference championship? No. Nope. Did he win a major bowl game? Did he win a national title?
I mean,
no.
What players does Michigan State retain from last year? I know that Michigan has lost, you know, at least three key defensive players.
Brian Lewerke, Kenny Willekes, and Joe Bocci. Those are the three biggest players.
I kind of like Lewerke, dude. He does a pretty decent job.
He had a bad season last year.
I still think he has potential. I do.
And a lot of people say he was injured. He was, but I don't think his injuries played as much. I think he just had a bad season.
You know, the defenses in Division I college football and the NFL both are absolutely stellar at this point. Anybody who doesn't realize that doesn't know football. Right. They're vicious. They're fast. Their defensive lines are huge and strong and super quick. You know, it's hard to be an offense in high-end football competition. It really is. It's brutal.
So what do you think? We're going to end this pretty quick here. What do you think, Big Ten-wise? I just read an article today that had six Big Ten teams as being major bowl contenders, with two being from the Big Ten East and four being from the Big Ten West, which is crazy because most of the strong teams, quote-unquote strong, that come from the Big Ten come from the Big Ten East. Now they're saying that Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin and Northwestern are all going to be major bowl contenders, with only Michigan and Ohio State coming out of the East.
I would put those teams on my bracket. Continue.
No, that's all I'm saying is Michigan and Ohio State are the only two teams to come out of the East with major bowl implications, with the other four teams coming from the West, which is crazy because, like I said, normally it's Penn State, Michigan State, Iowa, or Ohio State, and Michigan that come out of the East, with maybe two or three out of the West. So I was really surprised to see four teams from the West and two from the East. But I've also seen different articles that said Michigan State is a dark horse playoff contender, so who knows? As long as Michigan State makes the right changes on the offense, because they mixed up their their coaching staff. It's not so much that they fired and hired, but they moved them.
For me, a lot of times the big question mark again is the offensive line. hopefully that Michigan State has done that, because
they always recruit heavy there. So
I just got a text in through the data waves of the intraweb, and the big question mark is Lewerke the man.
Well, and if he isn't, they have Rocky Lombardi. So it that's the biggest thing, is Rocky Lombardi proved that he can play. He's raw still, but Lewerke being full health, if he comes back like he did 2 years ago, I'm telling you, watch out. Anyway, episode 18 in the books. We're about to hand. Anything else you want to say, Bill?
Kamchatka.
There it is. We're gone.